The scripture records that in this spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" But then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. She had purified herself from her uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." Here is a reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. Your word, Lord, that speaks into our very heart. And we thank you for the example of David, a man who was after your very own heart. You called him that, but yet at the same time, there were times that he really failed. And Lord, we can identify with him. And we thank you for including his story in our life because, Lord, just like him, we have so many ups and downs. And we have those times, Lord, that we are serving you strongly. Then other times we trip up and sin. And we thank you, Lord, that even there you are there for us. And so, Father, I pray that through your word this morning, you would just again encourage and instruct us. Help us to heed your word so that we too may live in a way that pleases you and may be true, faithful, and loyal. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. When we think about David's life, there are usually two main events that most people know. Even if they don't understand or know too much about David, there's two things that people know about him. One is the time when David slew the giant Goliath. Almost everybody has heard that story and knows about that wonderful event. And when David, as a small boy, trusting in the power of the Lord, had great victory, and the giant fell before his feet. Or if they also may know about the story of David and Bathsheba, and the time when David fell into sin and committed adultery and then tried to cover it over and had her husband killed and committed murder in the midst of a cover-up. A time when David, in that case, the giant slew David. And a time when he fell before the giant and he fell in defeat. I love what the scripture gives us, both the good and the bad of God's people. And doesn't just cover over and gloss over their struggles. Because just like them, we are imperfect people too. And we all have our struggles and we all have our battles within. And you and I have our giants that we face. For David, the giant that slew him was the giant of lust. But for you and I, it may be different. But we all have those giants within us that we battle. And often it is not the giants of sickness or doubt or fear or worry that often slay us. And sometimes those giants are big and we wonder if we're ever going to get through or past those giants of sickness or adversity or hardship. But they're a battle to us. But they're not the ones that are going to wreck our life. They're not the ones that are going to trip us up and lay us in defeat. It's those other giants within that we face and those giants of sin that we all battle with, and they may be different. For David, it was lust. It may not be that for us. It may be something else, like anger or unforgiveness or gossip or even, should I say, gluttony. Things that we like to say aren't major, but yet all sin is sin in God's eyes, right? And they're all the same. He looks at them, everyone, the same. We type to make things worse and think adultery or others are worse than others, but they're all same in God's sight. But this morning, as we look into this tragic event that happened in David's life, we're not going to deal much with the sin itself. It's obvious. We know what he did. But we're going to learn from his example. And the scripture says that these things happen and were recorded for us in scripture as examples for us that we may learn from. And learn from David's life, how can we not end up being slain by the same giant? How can we keep those giants that are within us, those sins that we, the weaknesses that we battle, the sins that we struggle with, how can we keep them from laying us in defeat and destroying and wrecking our life? And what can we learn from him? What example can we apply? Today we're going to learn two important lessons to help us in our battles with the giants that you and I face, whatever they may be. And the first thing is the path to spiritual defeat. What was it that led David into this terrible sin of adultery, which we just read about? And we're going to see as it got worse, as you know the rest of the story, how he eventually had Uriah killed and a murder to cover up his sin. But what was it that led him into such a dire place? The Bible called him a man after his own heart. When we read about David before, he wrote all those Psalms. He was a godly man. He loved the Lord with his heart. He had won every battle he had ever faced up to this point in his life. Things were going well. But his defeat, friends, did not happen the night he met Bathsheba. There were things going on in his life, in that battle that was raging in his heart, that was happening way before this, that led to that final result. The scripture says that it's out of our heart that we act and we respond. And that's why it's important to guard our heart. And David, even though he was a man after the heart of God, there still was some issues in his heart that he did not resolve. There was still some conflict within his heart that was divided that he was not dealing with. And the first one in this path that led to defeat, and the same for you and I, is spiritual neglect. He neglected his spiritual life, even though he was a great man of God. Notice his responsibilities here. Notice in verse 1, it says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, and we could read this and skip over this and think this isn't important, but it is. In the time when the kings go off to war, David sent Joab, his commander, with the troops. But what does it say in the last part of verse 1? He remained in Jerusalem. He stayed home. It was his responsibility. It says, when the kings go off to war. Now, apparently, it's in the springtime. They had a battle. That's the time of the year they would wage war. In the winter, it was when it was wet. It was the rainy season. They wouldn't have war then. But in the spring, as things got, that's when they would go and attack. That's whenever, if they had wars, that's when they would do it. And it was that time of the year. The king's responsibility was to go and to lead them into battle. But he remained home. If he would have been taking care of his responsibility and not neglected his duty, he wouldn't have fallen into sin. He neglected his duty of leading the king, leading the nation into war himself. He sent Joab instead, and he remained back. When we neglect the duty of our own taking care of our own spiritual life, of neglecting our duty of being in the Word of God, of prayer, of nurturing our heart and nurturing our spirit, and we become spiritually lazy and idle, like David was in this case, we're allowing our heart to begin to be open for where we can begin to fall. And that's what happened with David. There is a word, there is a quote that says, the Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Bible. And that neglect spiritually of his duty that he was to do was beginning to open his heart. He also didn't deal with his personal weaknesses. Another part of the neglect in his life was he didn't deal with those personal struggles that he knew he had. He let them go. Turn with me to chapter 5, verse 13 of this book. 2 Samuel, just go back a couple chapters. This fall into sin with David did not begin here. Some things were happening that led up to it. Chapter 5, verse 13. This is right after David became king. It says, after he left Hebron, David took more concubines and wives in Jerusalem, and more sons and daughters were born to him. Up to this point, we read that David already had three wives. Now, in Hebron, he takes more wives and he takes more concubines. David had a problem in his heart with lust. He had a problem in his heart for desiring women, and he knew that was there, and instead of dealing with it, he continued to let it go. It was that desire that was unchecked in his heart that was going to lead him into sin. He had that struggle, and instead of dealing with it, he let it go. You and I have personal struggles and weaknesses. They're different for all of us, but things that we struggle with, certain sins that are a weakness to us. And if we know that and we let them ungo, we let them go and we don't neglect to bring those to Christ and to surrender that, we're setting ourselves up for defeat. We're setting ourselves up for a fall. It may not come now, but it will come sometime down the road, just as it did for David. And we can learn from his example. He neglected, he didn't deal with his weakness. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Listen to the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 27. Jesus says this: "You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.'" That was the law. David knew that himself. But Jesus says, "But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for you to lose your whole body and to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for you to lose your whole body, for your whole body to be thrown in and go into hell." And what Jesus is saying there is, he says, when we have a struggle in our life, there's a sin, it's an issue in us, and we know it. He said, deal with it. Get it out, rid of it in our life. Don't let it continue to live. Don't let it continue to be a part of us, because it will end up destroying us. But there's something that you know is a weakness in your life that you're struggling with. Eliminate it. Give it to Christ. Ask him to help you with that. Don't let it go on. Don't think it's not a problem or a big deal, because it can be. It was with David. To quote the great theologian, well, the scripture says, James chapter 4, verse 7, "Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And to quote the great theologian Barney Fife, he says, nip it in the bud. The great theologian Barney, that's what he says, nip it in the bud. And whatever it is that you're struggling, did you know it's a struggle? Maybe it's gossip, maybe it's whatever it is, nip it in the bud. Don't let it go on. David didn't deal with it. He neglected it. It was going to lead to his downfall. It can with us too. He also fed his desires. James chapter 1 says that when we can't say when we fall into sin, it's because of ourselves. We can't blame anybody else. We can't say it was because of God. He says we are drawn into sin because by our own desires, we are drawn away and enticed. Joe Campbell says that sin always finds itself not in our feeds on our selfish desires and on our self-gratification. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that there is no temptation that seizes us that is not common to man, that God will provide a way of escape, a way out. But David fed his desires when it says that when he was out taking a walk on his roof, apparently it was a night, warm night. He couldn't sleep. He got up in the middle of the night. David's now 50 years of age. So he's 50 at this time. Those of us that get older know that in the middle of the night, when we get older, we have to go up and walk around and go to the bathroom, right? And David was having a sleepless night, and he was 50 years old, and he was walking around on the bed, and he looked out and he saw this lady taking a bath, and he saw her. And he fed his desire. Instead of walking away, instead of nipping it in the bud, instead of yielding it to the Lord, he gave in. And he fed that desire and wanted more. And that led him into sin. He also lost his focus. Verses 2 to 4 says that he took his eyes off of the Lord and he put them on the things of the flesh. It says that in the evening he got up from his bed and he walked around in the palace and he saw a woman bathing. And the Bible mentions that she was very beautiful. It caught David's eye. And not only did he, when he fell into sin, when he saw her, he should have walked away. He should have went back into his bedroom. But what did he do? He sent someone to inquire her. You notice how he was setting himself up. He continued to go in to that desire. He sent someone to find out about her. And he focused on fulfilling his own desires rather than pleasing the Lord. And his focus was on himself. It was on what I want at the moment. He forgot about the Lord. He didn't think what was right. He was thinking of what he wanted at the time. And that can happen in our life when we take our focus off of Jesus and we start focusing them on ourselves. We start focusing on what we want or what we think we need or what we desire over God's best for us. That's when we're setting ourselves up to fall. And David focused on his temporary pleasure rather than eternal glory, rather than the long run. Scripture says in Hebrews that Moses would not... He chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And sin has pleasures for the moment, but then it pays, we'll see, hard consequences. It was going to for David. But he didn't focus on that. He was focused on the pleasure of the moment. And he lost his focus. The man who had a heart after God, instead of focusing on God, focused on himself. He took his eyes off of Jesus, and it led him in to time of deep sin. The path to spiritual defeat also goes through personal. Personal success can cause us to be defeated. It said there was a time when David set out, and the king's men, they destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. And things were going well for David. David had never lost a battle in his life up to this point. Every time he went on the battlefield, he won. He was at the top of his game. He was king. He was ruling the nation. He had the world by the tail. Everything was going for David. But success can be a disastrous thing sometimes, because when things are going well in our life, that's when it's easy for us to fall. Because when things are going well, we're not dependent on Christ. When things are going well, we start focusing on our thinking. We have done it on ourselves. And we forget, David knew when he faced Goliath, he knew that Goliath was only going to fall by the power of the Lord. And he knew that it was the Lord's strength that was going to give him victory. But as he got more successful, he forgot that. And he forgot his ability on the Lord, and he was relying on himself. And when we rely on our strength, that's when we can fall. The scripture says, take heed, lest we think we stand, we can fall. It's only in Christ. And spiritual pride led him into sin as well, in the path that he had gave him a disregard for God's word and a disregard for others. Whenever it's said here that he saw her, he didn't care what God's word had to say. He didn't care even about Bathsheba. He was only looking at her as an object to fulfill his lust. Even when the word was sent back that he said, this is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, that should have raised a flag to him. This lady's married. But he didn't care at that point. He had a disregard. His pride, he thought it didn't matter. He led him to denial, thinking it's not going to matter. No one's ever going to find out. No one will ever know. It's okay. I can handle it. And sometimes we have those struggles in our life with sin, and we think it's okay. I can handle it. No one's ever going to know. Just this once isn't going to matter. And that's what David thought. But it led down to a spiral path. The path to spiritual defeat leads, secondly, to the pain of spiritual defeat. That when we walk down that path that David walked down, it leads to a path of pain. Verse 5, David thought Bathsheba went home. This event was over. He thought that was it. It's over. It's one event. It's done. He had his pleasure, so he thought. And then he gets this message coming to him. David, I'm pregnant. You're the father. David's world was turned upside down in that moment. Now what was he going to do? Here is the king. He'd been married all these wives. Now it's going to come out. What's he going to do? And it led to distress. Sin in our life can lead to times of distress and pain. And it was going to lead to great distress in David's life. Sin brings about disastrous consequences that Satan never shows us. And when we do fall into sin, and we all do, there's two responses we can do. We can fall into sin, we can come clean, and we can confess it. And we can, that moment when David was told that Uriah, Bathsheba was pregnant, and he got that message, he could have come clean at that moment. He could have confessed it and made it right. But he didn't. He took the second response. And the second response is to cover it. To try to cover it over, to hide it, think no one will ever find out. No one's going to know. And that's what he did. And how many times do we see that or have heard of stories of people that have done some kind of secret sin in the past, and eventually it has come back and it has come public and people have heard. And it's better if we confess it in the very beginning. But David chose the path of covering it. But sin always leads to heartache. It leads to disastrous consequences. It also leads to deception. Verses 6 to 13 tell us then that David sent word to Joab, his commander, send me Uriah. Have him come home from the battle. So he had him come home and he took him to his house, took him to the palace, and he wined and dined him. They said he asked Uriah how the battle was going, how's everything going, how's Joab, how's all the commanders. David didn't really care about that. David was just trying to get him to one point. And he said, you go home and you spend the night with your wife. And he was hoping that he would go home and spend the night with his wife, and then Uriah would think the baby was his and everything would be fine. No one would know. He'd come up with a deceptive plan. He thought, this is good. It's over. But you know what? Uriah was your godly man. The scripture says Uriah went home, but he slept outside. He didn't go into Bathsheba. He didn't go into his wife. He slept outside. When David heard that, he was upset. He had him come back the next day. He said, why didn't you go in and sleep with your wife? He said, well, how could I do that? He said, the Ark of the Covenant's out there, and that my fellow men are in battle. He said, I can't go home and have pleasure with my wife when my comrades are in war. I got to stick with them and be loyal. That made David even more frustrated because he's trying to cover his sin and Uriah won't cooperate. So the second day he says, well, stay with me another day. So he had another battle. He had another banquet for him. This time he got him drunk. He got him drunk and sent him home thinking that he would cooperate and lay with his wife that night, and he didn't. Same thing, he slept outside. David's plan of deception didn't work. But that's how far he had fallen. And whenever we fall into sin and don't try to and we don't confess it, we try to cover it, and we try to deceive, and we try to cover it over, that's where it leads us, because we're afraid someone will find out. It also leads to devastation. Verses 14 to 24 tells us when Uriah then slept outside and would not go in with his wife Bathsheba, David sent him back to the battle. And it says in verse 14, in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. Now picture this. This is how far David had fallen. At this point, he wrote a letter for the execution, basically, of Uriah, gave it to Uriah, and said, go give this to Joab. And the message basically said, put Uriah in the front lines where the battle was the worst, where the fighting is the worst, and put him out there. And Joab knew from this message that the king wanted Uriah dead for some reason. And David basically written his murder, a decree. And that's exactly what happened. And he was put into the front lines. And not only Uriah, but other men were killed because of David's sin. Sin doesn't just affect us, but it affects other people as well. and the heartache and devastation it brings in homes, and homes that can be broken by sin that can be happened from one family member. It doesn't just affect us. It brings heartache and devastation. We learn from David's life. And it leads to disregard. Notice verse 25. The messenger then sent from Joab to David and said, send a message and tell him the deed's been done. There was defeat in the battle. But he said, if David gets upset with you, tell him that Uriah was killed, and that should satisfy him. So the message came back to David. David told the messenger when he heard that Uriah was killed, he said, say this to Joab, don't let this upset you. The sword devours one as well as the other. That was a disregard that David got at that point. He didn't care. He didn't care for Uriah. He didn't care about the fact that the men were killed. He was just trying to cover over his sin. It led to a total disregard of others and their life. And it leads to displeasure. Notice verse 26 and 27. David thought when Uriah was killed, this is the end of it. He took Bathsheba, his wife, thought, now no one's going to know. They'll just know that the baby is ours. No one's going to think anything of it. I got away with it. And he thought he did. But it says, verse 27, the thing David did displeased the Lord. And it brought displeasure to God. And here you had the man after God's very own heart that displeased and brought displeasure to the Lord because of his sin. And it wasn't the fact as much that he fell into it, as much as the fact that he tried to cover it over and the deception that came as a result of it. And David, in one of the lowest parts of his life, sets us an example. The path that led him to that defeat was long before the act itself, and brings great pain when we fall into sin. It's been said that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. And so that was for David. And we could end the story here. And the chapter ends here. But remember, in the scripture, the chapter breaks weren't there. And it sounds like this is a bad place to leave David. Here he is in the pit of defeat, covered over his sin, thought everything was fine, but he had displeased the Lord and his relationship with God was hurt. And that's where sin leaves us, that place where our relationship with God is hurt. But God loves us too much to leave us there. God loves us too much to leave us in that point of spiritual defeat. And he reaches out to us and he gives us hope and he wants to restore. Next week, we're going to see how God did that. The good news of this story is God was going to restore David again. God still had work for him to do. God still had hope. And that's the good news, that when you and I do fall into sin, and we do, God doesn't leave us there, but he restores us back and he shows us grace. Aren't you thankful for that? The consequences of sin were going to remain. David was going to suffer consequences for this act for the rest of his life, and so was his family. But yet God was going to restore him and give him grace. And same with you and I. We can avoid that and avoid that pain if we don't walk down that path that David walked down. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence with us, for your word, Lord, that gives us counsel and advice. And Lord, we all have giants in our life that if we let them go unchecked, they will lead us to defeat. If we let them go, those desires go unchecked in our life and we don't yield them to you and to your spirit, and we feed them, we're walking down a disastrous path, a path that's going to cause us pain and heartache and bring disastrous consequences in our life. But we thank you, Lord, that even when we do fall into sin, you love us too much to leave us there. And you do restore, and you have reached down to us through Christ, and you do show grace. The consequences may still be there, will be there, but you do forgive, and you forgive, and you show us grace. Thank you, Lord, for even in the good and in the bad times of David, he still, you were there for him. You still called him a man after your heart. And so, Father, help us to live for you, to be true-hearted, wholehearted, faithful, and loyal as we live for you today and seek to be men and women after your very own heart. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.